We're actually going to turn to God's Word now. We're going to be looking at Psalm 57, and Jill's going to come and read for us. Psalm 57.
For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen.
Well, before we look at that psalm, we're going to sing another song. Number 346, it is Living Under the Shadow of His Wing. Another very familiar one, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to look at this psalm now. If you'd like to have Psalm 57 open in front of you, that would be helpful, I'm sure. Now, when Stuart knew that he was going to be away and he invited me to preach, I knew that the morning series had come to an end last week, because we had Easter, didn't we? And I knew that the evening series had finished last week. And I also knew that the new series start next week, morning and evening. And we hope and trust that Stuart will be back to lead those meetings, but we'll find that out during the week. So there is a gap, what we call preacher's choice. It's enough to strike fear into anybody. So it begs the question, why did I choose Psalm 57 for this evening? It's perhaps not one of the ones that is most well known, although as you read through it, you'll find lots of phrases that were very familiar in songs. In fact, we've been singing songs, I think nearly every song this evening is linked in some way to 57. So how did I actually come upon using this psalm? Well, one of the first things I did was I turned to a book that I've got, which is a daily devotional commentary. I don't know if you've got one, but it's quite a large, weighty tome, and it's a cross between sort of daily notes and a full-blown commentary. So it takes the whole of the Bible from Genesis right the way through to Revelation, breaks it down into daily chunks, and explains it in quite an easy fashion, and then gives you a devotional piece for each day. So I thought, well, that's a pretty good start. I'll have a look there. I looked under April 24th. That's today, just in case you didn't know. And lo and behold, Psalm 57 through to 63. So it was a good start. But actually, it was when I then read Psalm 57. In fact, I didn't even start reading the psalm. I read the little superscript that Jill very kindly read at the beginning, just at the start, to set the scene. And I was struck by its relevance to today's world, and in particular, to what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. You remember it says it's a psalm of David when he'd fled from Saul into the cave. So here was David, Israel's future king, chosen by God, anointed, yet he was hiding away from his enemies in the depths of a cage. And I'm sure you've seen in the news how people today in Ukraine, ordinary citizens, are having to live underground in shelters while the world around them seems to be systematically destroyed. Their life-giving supplies appear to be almost exhausted, don't they? And this week we even heard of people who have fallen ill because of the lack of vitamin D, which we normally get just by being out in the sunshine. But because people have been hidden away underground for so long without the right food and nourishment, they've become ill because of that. And the last few, certainly these last few days and this week, we seem to have centered on the steelworks in the town or city of Mariupol. And I have to say that rings a bell with me as well, because I used to work at a steelworks not too far away in Corby's, where I met my lovely wife. And so I'm familiar with blast furnaces and coke ovens and all the things you expect, rolling mills as well, the things you expect to see in a steelworks. I have to say that very soon after Sue and I left that steelworks, it was razed to the ground. I don't think those two things were connected. It wasn't by a bomb, thank goodness. It was razed to the ground so that they could build an Asda in its place. But it also put me in mind, when I was thinking about the people in Ukraine, it also brought in mind things that my mother had told me about when she was in London. She lived on the outskirts of London, just after the Blitz. And she used to, as a 17, 18-year-old girl, she used to travel up to the centre of London for work. And she said that she never really knew which buildings, which, the things that she would see day by day, which ones would still be there the next day. It's amazing to think of that sort of world, isn't it? That was 80 years ago. We thought we'd put all of that away, didn't we, last century? And here we are seeing the same thing again. So try to imagine yourself in a similar situation. What would keep you going? What could give you hope for the future? We trust God that we may never be put in a situation that is quite as extreme as that. But in our daily lives, even we face challenges, don't we, that can seek to overwhelm us. Well, in Psalm 57, we see a great example of prayer and praise. The introduction tells us that it's a psalm of David when he was hiding from Saul in a cave. Just to put it into a bit of context, there are two instances in 1 Samuel when David is apparently hiding in a cave. The first, in chapter 22, tells us that he was hiding in a cave at Adullam. But the more likely story is that from 1 Samuel chapter 24. And that's when David had been, he'd been chosen by God as the future king. He'd been anointed by the prophet Samuel. And he'd been serving the current king, Saul, noticeably by taking on the Philistine Goliath. And that had meant that David had grown in stature and status and popularity. And Saul had grown as well, but he'd grown jealous of David. He turned away from God and he'd set out to actually kill David. So David was on the run, really. And he was pursued relentlessly by Saul. Saul got wind that David was in the desert of En Gedi. And when they reached the crags of the wild goats, they found a cave. Just to put that into a bit of perspective, that's in the area west of the Dead Sea, near a place called Qumran, which might ring a bell with one or two of you historians, which is where the Dead Sea Scrolls were actually found. It's a bit of a nature reserve now. So David was actually hiding away at the back of this cave when Saul actually goes into the cave, unaware that David and his men are there hiding. Now David's men actually urge him to take this opportunity. It's a God-given opportunity for him to kill Saul and rid himself of that problem. Here's the opportunity. God has placed him into your hands, David. And David did indeed creep up on Saul and got as far as actually cutting off a piece of his cloak. But David immediately recognized that that was wrong. It wasn't the right thing. He was conscience-stricken. So he spares Saul's life. And he knows that Saul is still God's anointed king. He's confident that God will deal with Saul in his own good time. So that gives us an idea of the trauma that David was facing as he hid in the cave. Although he knew he'd been chosen by God, he also knew that his life was in danger. Rather than taking things into his own hands and ridding himself of his predecessor, David chose to put his faith in God and allow him to deal with Saul in his own time, in his own way. David saw the opportunity to do what was godly and what was right. And this psalm really reflects David's feelings. If you have a look at it, it's split into two equal sections. Verses 1 to 5 are an earnest prayer for deliverance, for God to act on his part, his behalf. And the second half, through to verse 11, are words of praise from David, demonstrating his own faith, his steadfast heart, and the faithfulness of our righteous God. And you'll notice that both sections end with the same refrain of praise. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Well, enough of context and structure. Let's see what we can learn from this psalm of praise. Perhaps not surprising, that first section is a heartfelt prayer. In verse 1, have mercy on me. He says it twice, have mercy on me. And in verse 2, I cry out to God Most High. David was well aware of the situation he was in, the danger of his position. He says, have mercy on me until the disaster has passed. Clearly, he is in what he considers to be a disaster. In verse 2, those who are hotly pursuing me. And in verse 4, I'm in the midst of lions, lying among ravenous beasts, evil men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and tongues are sharp swords. This is serious stuff, isn't it? David is crying out to God to help him get out of this current situation he's in, a heartfelt plea for God to help. But I think what also comes out of that is that it's also a prayer of faith. David has confidence that God will hear and answer his prayers. Look at the language that David uses. In verse 1, he talks about, in fact, verses 1 and 2, he talks about the idea of taking refuge in God. In verse 1, in you my soul takes refuge. And in verse 2, I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings. As we've already sung, haven't we? Living under the shadow of his wings, we find security. And that image here is, of course, that of young birds, isn't it? At this time of the year, ducklings and chicks, we see them following their parents about, don't we? And from a very early age, that they learn when they're in danger, the safest place for them to be is with their parents sheltering under their wings. So we can have confidence that God knows when we need the reassurance of a protective wing. He hears our distress calls. If you think about it, prayer really would be a worthless, empty waste of time if we didn't have confidence that God hears our prayers. Many people pray in the hope that God will hear them, but the Christian can pray with confidence that their prayers are heard. But our confidence can go much further than God simply hearing our prayers. We can be confident that God will also act. In verse 2 he says, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. In verse 3, he sends from heaven and helps me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. David was confident, wasn't he, that God would act to fulfill his purpose in David. David had the opportunity to kill Saul in the cave, but he knew enough about God to recognize that that wouldn't be in God's will. David chose not to do wrong, but instead to wait for God to act righteously, to fulfill his purpose. And indeed he did. After many years, David did indeed replace Saul as the anointed king of Israel. Sometimes perhaps we need to have that confidence to wait on God, to let go and let God, if you like. When we're under pressure, we may be tempted to take a quick fix, even if we're not sure we're doing the right thing. Remember the song, let God have his way with us. Do not strive, do not strive. David had confidence that God would hear his prayer and would act to fulfill his purpose. Truly a prayer of faith under difficult circumstances. And that faith led David into praise, as it should do really for each one of us as we acknowledge who God is and what he's done for us. And we see that refrain in verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And indeed, the second half of the psalm is full of praise for God. It's almost as though the darkness of the cave and the bleakness of David's situation is replaced by the brightness of a new day. In verse 8 he says, awake my soul, I will awaken the dawn. And we've already sung that, haven't we? We sing the songs that awaken the dawn. God of creation, we praise you. And it's a theme repeated throughout scripture, isn't it? The darkness of sin and unbelief replaced by the light of Christ. David is restating his great faith in the Lord. My heart is steadfast, O God. Despite my circumstances, I can still praise my God. The Lord acts to bring down those who oppose me. They are caught by their own snares. They fall into their own pit. Well, God does deal with the unrighteous, doesn't he? Sometimes by allowing them to suffer the consequences of their own actions, the consequences of their own sin. And David just has to praise God. Verse 9, he wants to praise God among the nations, among the peoples. It's almost as though he can't contain himself. He needs to share that greatness of God. For great is his love, reaching to the heavens. Great is his faithfulness, reaching to the skies. There are no limits to God's love, his righteousness, and his faithfulness to his people. And the psalm ends with that same refrain, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Well, what lessons can perhaps we apply from Psalm 57? Maybe you are facing a challenge that's getting you down. Perhaps you identify with David, hidden away in the darkness of a cave. Or perhaps you identify with the people of the Ukraine and Mariupol, in darkness, not knowing when you'll see the light, not knowing what you'll see when it's over. That challenge that you're facing may be different for each one of us. It may be something that's health related, particularly in this time of pandemic. It may be one of loneliness or loss. It may be a financial one. How to cope with the bills that seem to be constantly rising. It may be something relational. Perhaps you're having difficulties with somebody else. We all go through challenges like this, don't we? And we're not alone. There is room in the shadow of God's wings. He is our security, our hope for the future. He is able to take us from darkness into light. So if you are facing something like that, cry out to him. Make sure he knows what you're fearing and what you're feeling. But cry out to him in confidence that God hears us. You remember, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now have direct access to God the Father through Jesus. Remember how we heard last week that the curtain in the temple that separated us from God was torn from top to bottom. We now have access to our Creator. Cry out in confidence. Cry out in prayer to God in confidence that He will act. Not only that He will hear, but He will act on our behalf. God sends His love and His faithfulness. He's worthy of our praise. So may our close be the same. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. We're going to close our worship with a great song. It's Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand and sing together. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and evermore. Amen.